I don't even know if they could sing on key, but they were going to sing anyway. They had what? They had Psalm 34. Probably had on the, you know, the little prompter thing, you know. Ah, praise God. If that's not our testimony, on those days that where we feel like we have been beaten and dragged through the mud and we crawl up the steps to get in the door at night, on those days, if it is not our testimony that we come home and seek the face of God for strength and cry out to Him and declare His glory and His praise in the face of our sufferings, then we need to learn to do that. Let me just be the bully for a second. I'm not going to coddle you today. If that's not your testimony, it ought to be. And I'm saying that to all of us, myself included. If that is not your testimony, God says it ought to be, because this is the example He holds up for us. That's where the power is. It's not just some platitude. It's just not some fuzzy-wuzzy, warm, feel good. Gee, you'll feel a little bit better if you do this. God is worthy of it. And God is not asleep at the wheel in heaven. He's not some idiot. He's not mismanaging your life because He didn't go to have enough college in business administration courses to know how to run your life successfully. He is not mishandling you. We are the ones that lack the understanding. We are the ones that mishandle our life. And God has the power to make awesome things out of us and glorious things out of our life if we will trust Him even in the midst of suffering when everything is chaos and confusion. God is the God who brings light out of darkness. He brings purpose out of chaos. And if we want that light in the midst of our darkness, if we want that purpose in the midst of our chaos, there's only one place we're going to find it. Where is that? With God. So I just want to put this out to you the next time you're feeling that way, and it probably won't be that far off in the future. I'd like to get you all riled up and excited, but let me tell you, life is tough. And if it happens to be tonight, or if it happens to be tomorrow, or Tuesday afternoon, before you go to your spouse, or before you call up your buddy, or before you start texting, saying all kinds of horrible, complaining, whining, wicked things, I would submit to you that you go to God first, and you just bear your soul to Him, like David did in the Psalms. You know, 50% of the Psalms are laments. 50% of the Psalms is David complaining to God, saying, God, I don't understand. It is not fair. I am surrounded by people who hate me, and they're doing everything in their power to take me out, and I don't get it. But You are my fortress and my high tower and my shield. And no matter what hell brings against me, You are my salvation and You are worthy to be praised. I will trust in You. It's there for a reason. It was put there for you and for me to see that and know that that's how we deal. That's how we cope. We don't complain. We don't whine. We don't, you know, just drive our spouse right up the wall because we're going on and on and on and on. We go to God first and we bring our spouse with us. And we say, hey, let's pray together, man. Let's seek the face of God, because I know my God. He has a plan. He has a reason. He has a purpose, and He has the power to put it all together for me. And I would just exhort you in the name of the Lord to lay a hold of that truth. Don't let this be some fuzzy-wuzzy thing to make you feel good or get you pumped up for an hour before we go and eat something. Lay a hold of this thing. Repent before God if that's not your testimony. And say, God, give me the grace to be that way from now on, because I've been wrong. I have stolen Your glory from You because it was inconvenient for me. Your plan, You allowed something in my life that didn't just rub me exactly the right way, and I stole Your glory because of it. Praise God. And so they began to praise God in the midst of their circumstances. They started to sing. They sang. And I love this, man. Acts 16:26. What was the result? I'll tell you what the result was. There was a whole lot of shaking going on. Somebody probably pulled out. They found the piano down in the dungeon. Here it is. And suddenly there was a whole lot of shaking going on. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great what?
Earthquake.
The very ground shook below them. God literally shook the foundation of the world below that prison. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. That's power. Don't you want that to happen at the end of those days we were talking about? Don't you want God to shake things up, to send a spiritual earthquake and rock your world so that after a day like that, everything is turned on its head? Don't you want that kind of power unleashed in your life to cry out to God and say, God, this was probably the worst day of my life, but I'm going to praise you because you are worth it. And God, on your behalf, suddenly shakes the very ground. That actually happened during the Hebrides revivals. They were in this one place where there wasn't revival. People were ready to throw them out. They hated them. There was such a demonic, stifling spirit there that they had to stop the revival service and go in the barn and pray. And they cried out to God and they just sought Him, and all of a sudden the ground literally trembled below their feet. Somebody said, I think that was an earthquake. And I forget the name of the guy that was leading the revival. He just suddenly remembered Acts 16 and said, I think you're right. Duncan Campbell. Praise God. And immediately the doors were open, everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Praise God. What a turnaround. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, literally beautiful? That God could turn things around 180 degrees in the midst of the worst circumstances imaginable. And there is so much in this passage. I could preach on this for weeks. There is so much truth in this thing. But I almost hate to add anything to it because it drips with so much power. I almost feel like saying, there it is. There you go. What more can I say? God not only shook the very ground in response to the prayers, but the very man who threw them into prison and locked their feet in the stocks came and fell on his face before them and with trembling going through his body, literally shook himself. God not only shook the ground, he shook the jailer. The very guy who threw them in jail comes running up to them and falls on his face and says, what can I do to be saved? That's results. That's profound, man. Dude was about to kill himself. He had his sword out. He was going to fall on his sword. Until Paul and Silas stopped him. They said, don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. Probably one of the prisoners who saw the Princess Bride said, there's a shortage of perfect pectoral muscles in the world. You know, it'd be a shame to damage yours. For those who've seen the movie. We don't know what's going to happen with people. We don't know what's going to happen when we preach the gospel, man. Some people are going to love us. Other people are going to hate us. Some people will invite us back to their house, and some people will want to throw us in prison. Some people will want to feed us, and some people will want to put their fists down our throat. And it's the same gospel. But we need to settle in it in our hearts right now that no matter what they do, He is worthy of whatever it costs. He is worthy, and He is faithful. And if we will rise and praise our God in the midst of whatever hell throws our way, He will turn things around. He will make all things work together for good to those who love Him. He's God. He can do it. He will show Himself faithful. Praise God. Spent the first night at Lydia's house. They were about to spend the second night in the midst of the worst part of the prison, in the vile, filthy jail cell. Where did they wind up spending the second night? The jailer's house. Man. Silas probably, check it out, Paul. I knew it was going to come through. I knew we'd be eating chicken tonight. Took them home, washed their wounds. Praise God. Set food before them, and they rejoiced together. Doesn't that make you want to worship? I don't know about you, man. It makes me just want to praise God. I'm a worshiper, man. I'm a rowdy dude, man. I like to worship loud. God is worthy of loud worship, man. This kind of stuff, a God who will send an earthquake and shake the earth on our behalf, we ought to shake these walls on His behalf. When we come in here, we ought to praise God with every fiber of our being. They ought to be calling up the police across the street to say, man, can you do anything? Those guys are too loud over there. I would not be offended if the police came because you guys were shouting too loud for God. I would not be offended if they came in and said, could you turn it down a little bit? Because in the midst of whatever you are going through in your life right now, no matter who is giving you trouble or what circumstance is troubling your heart, if you came in here and shouted the house down for God because you trusted in Him in the midst of your circumstances, I promise I will not be offended. And if they send the police, man, praise God, they can join us in praising God. They can worship too. Amen. Praise God. Let's close in worship, man. Let's close in prayer, first of all. Father, I thank You. Lord, I thank You. I thank You, God, that You are real. That we're not praying into the air, Lord. That we're not just flattering ourselves, Lord, or engaging in some fantasy. God, when we call out to You, You hear us, God. Lord Jesus, You are real. You hear our cry. And You care. And You have the power to change our life, Lord. I thank You for that, God. And Lord, I pray You would unleash Your power in all of our lives, God, that we would have the guts and the boldness to trust You in the midst of our circumstance and give You the praise and stand our ground in faith until we see Your power come through. Father, I pray You would do that in each of our lives and that You would turn this world upside down because You've turned us upside down in Christ. I pray You would fill each and every one of us, Lord, and not one of us would come behind and lack in any of Your blessing, God. We just praise You, Lord, and we bless this house right now in Jesus' name. And if you've never put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do that today. I mean, I could sit here and say, well, you know, you might die tomorrow or something like that. You might not die tomorrow. I mean, you might, but you might not. Probably you won't. But why waste the next 45 years of your life chasing after vanity, chasing after the wind, when you can have real meaning and purpose and lay a hold of what is really real and true and valuable in this world? Why miss any of it? And then on top of that, the icing on the cake, on that day when you do finally check out of here and you leave this world like people are doing every day of the week, you will have the confidence of knowing where you are going, because Christ has purchased your salvation with His own blood. And if for some reason you fall short of that day, and a year from now or 2 years from now you find yourself in a car upside down, much to your surprise, wrapped around a tree or underneath some other truck or some other object, and you find yourself in a place where you think you may not make it to see the light of day, in that situation, you won't have to panic. You won't have to be in terror of what's about to take place, like I see on some of these shows where they haul these people in out of horrible accidents and take them into the ER, and some of them make it and some of them don't. You won't have to be in fear on that day, because your future and your destiny is secure in Christ. I used to handle car accidents for a living. I handled close somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 car accidents in my career. I handled litigation. I was in the unit that handled fatalities and serious injuries. I had people with their legs cut off. I had people that woke up one day with no idea that they were going to check out later that day. No idea that they were going to get run into or hit, crushed beneath the weight of a garbage truck or some other thing, wrapped around a tree. And we don't know when that day will come, but you can know in your heart of hearts that when that day comes, whether it's soon or whether it's many, 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 many years from now, that on that day, you're going home to glory. You're going home to freedom. And you will have lived a legacy. You will be leaving behind a legacy of beauty and peace and joy and a multitude of people behind you that you influence for good and not evil. You will leave a legacy of lives that you have touched and repaired instead of broken down. You'll leave a legacy of people who will stand at your funeral and say, "Thank God that person came and brought Christ into my life. Thank God for the joy that they brought into my life. Thank God for a person who knew what it was like to love like a Christian and stand with me in spite of everything that was going crazy in my life. They were there and they were faithful. And they prayed with me, and they stood with me, and they watched with me, and they loved on me, and they were there." And you can leave that legacy. Why miss any of that? That is the true stuff of life. And everything else is vapor. It's all spitting into the wind. It's all vanity. And so I would encourage you today, if you have not laid a hold of Jesus Christ and asked Him to transform your life, that you would do so right now. And I'm not afraid to challenge you and say, if you would like to do that, if you would like to confess Him before men so that He can confess you before God, if you would just like to take a moment to pray with me and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, be bold enough to slip up your hand and say, "Count me in, brother. That's me. I want to go to Christ." And if you want to make that your decision today, I would be privileged, I would be literally honored to pray with you so that you can lay a hold of Him. And I say that with all the love, all the passion and love in my heart.